say, Lord, if it satisfies you, then it satisfies me too. Because I don't know. There are times I feel absolutely certain. I mean, I'm as certain of what the will of God is in some situations as what I am that my heart's a beating. But there's times when I'm absolutely and completely unknowing. There's times that I'm completely in the dark as to what it is that God really wants to do in my life and wants me to do with my life. And it's those times I have to say, Lord, if it satisfies you, then it satisfies me. And there have been times that I've just been stubborn and rebellious and reluctant to do the will of God. There's been an awful lot more times that I was ready and willing to do God's will. It was just a matter of discerning what God's will was. And at that point, all I could say was, God, I really do genuinely, honestly desire for your will to be done in my life. But I don't know what it is. And so, Lord, I'm just going to live my life the very best that I can to try to satisfy you. And if it satisfies you, Lord, then it will satisfy me. And sometimes it's where we are. And I'm glad the Spirit knows how to work in our lives, reveal to us what we need to know, and then communicate between us and with the Father. And that's what I want to preach on tonight out of the book of Romans in chapter 8. Chapter 8 of the book of Romans. And we'll read two verses out of this chapter, as much as it pains me to try to stay in two verses of this chapter. All 39 verses are all so intertwined and so intricate and so essential to one another and to the integrity of the chapter. But I don't have time to get to 39 verses. That would take us about 25 weeks to do. And this is just one sermon, and so I just want to stay in just a couple of verses. I hope, if I can stay in these couple of verses, I hope to preach very short tonight. My voice is weak, and I may run out of voice very short, may not have any choice but to preach just short tonight. So I preach long this morning, short tonight. On average, it's right in the middle. Isn't that right? And put one foot in ice, another one in boiling hot water. On average, you're uncomfortable. And so that's what I want to do maybe tonight, is try to average it out. I do want to say to the good Lord that I appreciate Him helping me preach this morning, though. That message has been on my heart for a while and has been very important to me and very special to me. I doubt very seriously that I was able to get it across to you as important as what it is in my heart and in my life. Seldom is any man of God ever able to really do that, to give it to you as God has truly given it to me, as I'm having to work through the veil of this flesh that's a hindrance unto me. But I don't know that I've ever preached to the church a more important message than what I preached this morning. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It's maybe the most important verse of application in a Christian's life on a daily basis in all of the Bible. And I pray that the Lord would help us take it to heart. And tonight we're going to talk about how the Lord will help us to do that, and how God's Spirit will help us to live for Him and to do the things that we need to do each day to walk according to His precepts. We'll read two verses. If you found Romans 8, stand with us in reverence to the reading of God's Word if you're able and willing to stand. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26 and 27 is where I want to read. Wonderful chapter of the Word of God. There's so much preaching to be done in Romans chapter number 8. I want to try to remain primarily in these two verses, though we'll make reference to a couple of other places in supporting, in terms of supporting the doctrines taught in these verses of God's Word. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Word of the Lord says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." By the way, notice this phrase, though I have myself often misquoted it, does not say, "for when we know not what we should pray for as we ought." It says, "for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The truth is, you don't ever know. It's not just when you don't know, it's that you don't know. You don't know, and I don't know. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But since we don't know, not when we don't know, but since we don't know, the Spirit itself, notice this Spirit is not lowercase s, that would be the spirit of man, it's uppercase s, the Spirit of God, the third part of the Godhead, that Spirit of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. He does what we cannot do in ourselves. We don't even know what to pray for, how to pray. And God's Spirit makes intercession for us. Not, my friend, with us, but for us. When we don't know how to pray, God uses His, through His Spirit, makes intercession for us. With groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm going to preach more on that in a moment. Verse 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." Again, capital S. Not your spirit, but God's Spirit. You may be in tune with what your spirit has going on, but He speaks of the man, that of the one that searcheth the hearts, that's our hearts, knoweth what is the mind also, if you will, of the Spirit, that is the will of God. Because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. We don't even know how to pray for the will of God. The Spirit of God. The one who knows the Father, the Son, who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart of man, also knows the Spirit of God. And He knows how to connect our heart with His Spirit and to put us in place where we are praying through the Spirit of God in accordance with the will of God. And we don't even know how to do that. But since we, not when, but since we don't know how, the Spirit of God works for us, that is, not through us, but for us on our behalf, to allow us to pray in God's will and to translate it whenever we're truly and genuinely and honestly and sincerely seeking the will of God. Though our words may ask for something altogether different, God answers in His will in response to the sincere desires of our hearts in prayer. Many times I've asked for one thing, received another, and could honestly say it was answered prayers. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. I thought He did something different than what you asked for. He did. His answer was wiser than my prayer. And many times God has answered differently than I have requested. But my friend, it has still been an answered prayer. I requested with honesty. I requested with sincerity. I desiring the will of God. But I did not know how to pray as I ought to. And the Spirit of God, knowing the will of God, interceded in the will of God to the Father Himself through the Son. And God answered in His will. And He answered my prayers right that I verbalized wrong. Amen. I'm glad God knows how to do that. And now I want to preach, if the Lord will help us. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But I want to preach, if the Lord will help us, on help for today. Help for today. About years ago, a fellow sent me a card. How whenever I was caught in the middle of some crazy things, and the card is saying, "It's not yesterday, and it's giving me fits, that's already gone. And it's not tomorrow, that hadn't come yet. It's today that's driving me nuts." And I'm going to tell you, my friend, yesterday's already passed. Tomorrow hasn't showed up yet. We need help from God today, right now, in this present world. We need God's work in our lives presently. Oh, my friend, would be a
ashamed to stand before you and to preach about a God that had saved us in the past, would give us heaven in the future, but gave us nothing to get from salvation and my friend to the resurrection with. Amen. But I'm glad Jesus left us with hell before today. The Spirit of God. Now first, before I talk about hell for today, I want you to notice verse number 18 kind of gives us a little bit of a stage for this. He said in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." That's talking about hope for tomorrow. Amen. He said in verse number 23, "And not they only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." He speaks of hope for tomorrow. But I'm glad not only is there hope for tomorrow, but for the believer there is hell before today. God gave us what's necessary to get from here to heaven. He gave us what's needed to get from grace to glory. Amen. In our text, the Apostle Paul instructs us on how the Holy Spirit helps us with the struggles and sufferings of today. And my friend, thank God that Jesus has promised us eternal life in the hereafter. But I'm so glad that He's promised abundant life in the here and now. Amen. It's the right now that gives us this. It's the today that requires help. But I'm glad God is not only a God that's promised He will show up, but He is a refuge and strength, a very present help in the trouble. I'm glad God helps us presently, personally, powerfully. My friend, He is a present help in the trouble. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes, the psalmist said, unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'm glad He's a help for today. And so, my friend, in these verses, we see His help manifested in the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to give you three things and try to stay in these verses concerning the work of the Holy Spirit and His help for today. First of all, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Now there are whole courses in, my friend, the study of biblical studies in the college. There's whole courses on the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and I'm trying to make it the first point of a 20-minute sermon, and so we're definitely just going to hit and toss a rod and skim across the surface. But when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, He's not just here so you can shout. The Holy Ghost didn't show up in this world has to make you feel good. His purpose is not just so you can say amen and to raise your hand and have tears swell up in your eyes. That is the result of His work, but that is not His purpose. When He comes on the scene, it makes me want to say amen. It makes me want to raise my hands. It makes tears swell up in my eyes. But that's not why it came. That's what happens because it came. Amen. But friend, I'm telling you, there's a reason, there's a purpose why it came. When Jesus told His disciples that He was going to leave them, He promised them He would not leave them comfortless. He said, "It'll be good for you that I'll go away. After when I go away, I'll pray the Father, and He'll send you another comforter." Notice He didn't just say He'll send you a comforter. He said He'll send you another comforter. He said a comforter. He said, I'll leave, but I'll not leave you comfortless. You see, Jesus was a comfort to them. And Jesus was peace unto them. He was peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But now He's about to go to heaven. And He died and buried and rose again. And ascended to the Father, sat down there, and just looked down from heaven to watch what happened. We would be without peace and without comfort today. But I'm glad he said another comforter. This comforter, he calls him another comforter because he works just like Jesus does. While Jesus was here in body, the Spirit of God is here in spirit. Just as Jesus brought peace on earth, goodwill toward men. By the way, that ain't goodwill between men. That's goodwill toward men. Are you hearing me? That ain't talking about, my friend, as some junk, some peacenik, or some mop-headed hippie as somewhere in Northern California talking about how we don't need to have wars across the world. War's a terrible thing. But wars and rumors of wars will continue until Jesus comes and wages war against sin. And when he wages war, he'll win the peace. And my friend, not by the absence of war, but by the presence of victory. Amen. But when he said goodwill toward men, that's not peace. Goodwill toward men, that's not between men. And my friend, that's goodwill from peace and peace from God toward men. Amen. I mean, it was God's favor shown on us. He showed us peace. He showed us goodwill in sending us his Son. In other words, he made the first step. You know what goodwill is? I know I'm a chasing rabbit, but it's a good one to chase at Christmas time. You know what goodwill is? Any of you that's ever had to execute contracts that knows what goodwill is. Goodwill is a legal term. Any of you know where I'm going with this? If you're trying to negotiate and navigate through, my friend, negotiations over a contract, and you have discrepancies and differences between two sides, there are goodwill features that are oftentimes tossed into contracts to sweeten them up. That is, one party volunteers to make the first move in conceding some things in order to offer goodwill and a gesture of kindness toward the other party at odds, so as to bring them into the right relationship and into an agreement one with the other. When God sent Jesus, hallelujah to his name, he was giving us goodwill. He was making the first step. He was initiating the reaction, initiating the relationship. He said, I send Jesus. I send peace unto you. And now it's up to you to receive him. And when Jesus went away, he said, I'll send another comforter. And so he has sent again. Peace, goodwill toward men. In the person of the Holy Ghost. And he initiates goodwill with us. And through his Spirit he draws us unto himself. And the goodness of God leads us unto repentance. That's the purpose of his sweet Spirit. To initiate and to maintain and to develop in us a relationship with God. He's our presence with us daily. It is peace, goodwill toward men. That's God's gesture of kindness unto mankind, unto every one of us that will receive it. Amen. Oh, thank God. It is the life of God in the spirit form sent from heaven to indwell the hearts and the souls of men. Oh, my friend, this is deeper than what we can get to in a few moments, and I can't get to more than just a shallow end of it. But I'm hoping to challenge your way of thinking tonight so you go home and dwell on the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life. I talked to this morning about ye who are spiritual. When I said spiritual, I spoke of people who were spirit-filled, who, my friend, were walking in the Spirit. By the way, that's not spirit-filled as in feeling the Spirit. It's spirit-filled as in being filled with the Spirit. Are you hearing me tonight? That's not a matter of feeling warm and fuzzy in the worship service. Again, that's a byproduct of the Spirit of God. That's not the purpose of the Spirit of God. And my friend, that's the production of the Spirit of God. But it's not the purpose of the Spirit of God. His purpose is to initiate and to maintain, to cultivate, and to develop a relationship in us and between us and the Father. And the Spirit of God does that. He promised him, I'll not leave you comfortless. That word comfortless just literally means to be orphaned. I'm glad He's not left us alone. He's not left us orphaned. Amen. I'm no longer an orphan. Jesus has rescued me. My garments are no longer tattered. My family is royalty. I heard the primitive quartet sang that the other night in Resaca, Georgia. And they began to testify. And Reagan Riddle said he wrote the song. And whenever his son and daughter, I believe it was son and daughter-in-law, had adopted a little girl from the Ukraine. And that little child came over here. And when she brought him to her new home, with her new family, she had never slept on a bed in her life. Had slept on the floor and on the ground. Had never had her own room. Had never had her own toys. Had never had her own stuff. Had never known what it was to have a family. And she said, "You mean to tell me I don't have to share this room with anybody? You mean to tell me all these presents, all of these toys, all this stuff is mine to enjoy as I see fit? You mean to tell me that you're not going to leave me like my mama left me? You mean to tell me that if I eat my food, I can stop when I'm full, because there'll be another meal the next time I get hungry?" They said, "That's right, hon." He said, "I tell you what, I knew another man that was like that little girl. I spirits and my clothes were ragged. The world looked down on me. I had no hope for tomorrow nor for eternity. Then grace came with mercy and heard this orphan's plea. Now I've been adopted. My family is royalty. I tell you," he said, "I'll not leave you comfortless. I feel I'm having a spell, but my voice is shot. Somebody ought to shout for me, amen. I'm a telling you, how I bless his name. I'm no longer an orphan tonight. Jesus has rescued me. Hallelujah for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I belong to him. He belongs to me. I'm living in him. He's living in me. Thank God. He feels my infirmities. I feel his touch. Hey, thank God. And he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and I will give it unto you." Woo! I thank God for the Spirit of God that lives within sin, within us, as born again believers, had a sin to develop, initiate, cultivate, and maintain a relationship between us and God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that years ago the bishops put out a song that said, "With the Spirit of the Lord inside, there's a greater love in me. When I asked him to come in my life, what a difference I could see. Oh, I know that it's a real salvation. For no other it could be. With the Spirit of the Lord inside, there's a greater love in me. I'm glad I know what it is for Jesus to live in my life." Hey, yes, Star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on, shine on in me. Let my life be a light. You want to live for God, you'll need the Lord living in you. Oh, that's exactly right. He's called the Comforter. He sent my friend to abide with you forever. That word Comforter means one called alongside of in order to help. The Holy Spirit indwells us to enable us, to empower us, to equip us to live for God. The old time preachers would say, "You can only live the Christian life when you've got a liver in you." Amen. Hey, I thank God I got a liver tonight. I thank God the living Savior lives in me. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, talks with me along the narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I'm glad I've got a liver in me tonight. But the Spirit of the Lord inside has a greater love in me. He came to live in us. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. And then I want to say secondly tonight, there is the presence of the Holy Spirit to be noted. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is manifold. But Paul zeroes in on one particular aspect in our text. That is the Spirit's groaning or His conversational communication in intercession. The Spirit's groaning. Notice now, my friend, in this chapter, we find three different groanings that are mentioned. There is the groaning of creation in verse 22. And this groaning is a groaning to be released from the curse of sin. And in my friend, he said, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It's a groaning to be released from the curse of sin. When Adam sinned, God even cursed the ground. And the earth and the ground and all creation is groaning for to be released from the curse. And by the way, it will be. And God will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Somebody said that that's not literal. That don't really matter to me if we're on a literal earth or a spiritual earth, as long as we're where Jesus is. So you think what you want to about it. My daddy used to say that he thought that white horse was figurative, that Jesus is coming back on, and all those with him would be riding white horses too, the Bible said. I told him that was alright. He could ride a figure and I'll ride a horse. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, but thank God this earth will be redeemed. It's been cursed for man's sake, but it'll be redeemed for Christ Jesus' sake. And the creation groaneth, and my friend and my hey, to be released from the curse. And then there is the groaning of the Christian in verse 23. And the Christian groans to be relieved from the limitations of the body. And not they only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. And the groaning of the Christian is to be relieved from the limitations of the body, the temptations of the flesh, and from the suffering, struggles, and stresses of this present life. But notice in verse 26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. At the end of there is a colon following after that to phrases. How we pick back up at the other colon where it repeats or rejoins in with the same thought. But the Spirit itself make an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the groaning of the Comforter is seen in this verse. The groaning of a Comforter has to be a resource and a refuge in the midst of life's experiences. I'm glad that God sent His Spirit here, my friend, and His presence is with us. And His ministry is to groan on our behalf, to groan for us. And my friend, to intercede, to communicate and intercede when we don't even know how, and because we don't even know how, to pray as we ought.
Now notice the divine enablement. I preached too much today, I'm sore. The divine enablement. The Bible said, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That word helpeth, the root of it, and I couldn't pronounce it to save my life, so I won't attempt it. I do good to get helpeth down. But the root of that word, literally, but I do have a Greek and Hebrew dictionary, and I can look it up, amen. And that word helpeth literally means to sup together on the other end. Now that don't mean a whole lot to you, but the picture that's presented is one of a person who has a very heavy load to carry, who's under a great burden, who's trying to lift something that's too heavy and too mighty and too great and too much for himself. But when he cannot lift it alone, somebody gets on the other end and they pick it up and to help them and to carry this load with them and gets up under that load with us. Our infirmities, our weaknesses,
weaknesses weigh us down, that the Spirit picks up the other end and He helpeth us. Amen. I thank God He helps us to carry that heavy load. It's like Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." That is, let me get unto the other end of the load. Amen. And for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Back several years ago, we had a big yellow dog. It was a big old yellow golden lab. That dog was just a puppy, weighed nearly 100 pounds. I'm telling you, he was huge and clumsy and sloppy and fell all over everything. And Grace loved him long as he was on a chain or a cord, and he couldn't get to going too fast. Because he'd knock you down, knock her down. Here she was, just a little girl, 5 years old or so, and he'd knock her down and lay her out trying to play with her. For some reason, Caitlin was a baby, and he wouldn't go wild around her. He'd just lay there. He would let her beat on her, stomp on him, and jump on him. He didn't care. But when Grace got out there, he wanted to play. He'd knock her down, tie her up with his rope. I mean, just do her all kind of witch ways. But she loved the dog. I was going to help me feed and water him. A dog that size drinks a lot of water in the summertime. I had a 5-gallon bucket, filled it up with water. I'm going to take it out there to him. Grace said, "Betty, he's my dog. I'll take the water to him." She's 5 years old, and this is a 5-gallon bucket full of water. If she reached as high as she could hardly reach the top of the handle when it was lifted straight up, let alone put enough pressure and strength behind it to pick up the weight of that bucket. And so I said, "Hon, I tell you what, he's your dog, and I want you to take responsibility. But how about this? I don't want you getting wet. So what I'll do is I'll help steady the bucket so the water don't spill off on you." I reached down and grabbed the bucket, picked it up. She put her hand on the handle, and she walked out there waltzing along with her hand on the handle, not even lifting an ounce of it, just her hand resting on the bucket. I was carrying it. She didn't know it. I was carrying it. You know what happened? She got on her end of the load, and it was too much for her. She got on her end of her responsibilities and found out it was too much for her. She got on her end of her load, her bucket, her weight, and found out it was too heavy. But her father reached down, and when she couldn't pick it up, he picked it up. Amen. And when she couldn't carry it, hallelujah to God, he carried it. I'm saying this time, say, "Amen, when I cannot carry the load, I'm glad the Spirit helpeth us. I'm glad the Lord yokes up with us. I'm glad he gets on the other end of the weight, and he carries the load, and lets me go along for the ride. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that enables us tonight to live for Jesus."
Amen.
Divine enablement, he helpeth us. And then there's divine enlightenment. He said, "We know not what to pray for as we ought." There are times, most of the time, friend, when we face the suffering, the struggles, and the stresses of life, that we do not know what to pray for as we ought to. But I'm glad the Spirit of God steps in. Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe you've got some situation in your life tonight. You don't even know how to pray for it. I remember standing at the bedside time and time again of folks that are sick. People going in for surgeries. Life-threatening events. I don't even know how to pray. Don't even know what to say. I've no idea what to ask for. I've seen people later in their years, and my friend, their life had been reduced to a great deal of suffering. They were begging to die and go home to heaven. The family was struggling because they didn't want to lose him. And then they'd say, "Preacher, we want you to say a word of prayer." Well, what do you pray for? Everybody has a different interest. And I found myself saying what I heard my granddaddy pray. "Lord, since we don't know how to pray or what to pray for in this situation, I just want to ask you to do your will. And then to help us understand that you know what's best in our lives." I'll tell you, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know when or where to pray as we ought. But I'm glad the Spirit steps in and enters. intercedes for us. He, my friend, will enlighten us. He'll show us the way to go. He'll direct your path. He'll be your guide.
Divine enablement, divine enlightenment. And then I see the presence of the Holy Ghost brings divine encouragement.
Right.
He said the Spirit itself maketh intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. There have been some times along the journey that I've found myself in a place that all I could do was cry from my weakness and say, "Oh God." There's been times when 10,000 words could not have expressed what a trembling lip and tears on my cheeks when saying, "Oh God," could express to the Lord. There have been many times that I could not have possibly verbalized the pain that is in my heart, or the confusion in my mind, or the struggle that was in my life. But my friend, in my heart, I communed with the heart of God, and I just cried, "Oh God, oh God," and God knew how to take it from there. I'm saying, when all you know how to say is, "Oh God," God knows what to do with the rest. I couldn't put my feelings into words. I just did not know what to pray for, what to say. But God knew that my desire truly was for the will of God to be done. And thank God, when we can't even tell Him what we want or need or where we are, I'm glad He can. He knows what to do with our life. And He does. The Holy Spirit intercedes to the Father on our behalf with groanings too deep for words. Our feelings and emotions that cannot be expressed. The Holy Spirit's groaning. My feelings is not able to be expressed with human sounds or words. It is the intimate communication between the Father and the Holy Ghost. And by faith we accept the fact that He's faithful to intercede for us in the times of our infirmities and our weaknesses.
This
groaning of the Holy Ghost is literally when you get to the place where you don't know what to tell God, and you don't even know what the Holy Ghost is telling God, but somehow or another you hear a bell ringing yonder in heaven, and you know the Holy Ghost is telling the Father something.
Right.
And by faith you trust that whatever they're talking about is going to work out for His, for your good and for His glory.
Amen.
Anybody ever been there besides me? Amen. Oh my. I got news for you tonight. You're going to get there again.
Right.
And it may be soon. It may even be tonight. But God will do it again. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. My voice is shot, so I'm going to give you one more and quit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Finally, notice the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Verse 27. "And He that searcheth the hearts," that is the hearts of mankind, "knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit," capital S, the Spirit of God, "because He maketh intercession for the saints," not according to our will. Brother Matthew, not even according to our prayers,
right,
but according to the will of God. Oh, my. Oh, I bless His name. Hey, friend, if He made intercession with God according to our prayers, you might have gotten everything you've asked for along the way. And what a mess your life would be had that happened. Amen. But I'm glad He intercedes with God according to the will of God. He intercedes according to the will of God. We can rest assured that the prayers of the Holy Spirit are always in harmony with the will of God. I don't always pray in the will of God, but if I pray in the Spirit always prays in the will of God. Amen. And because He knows the mind of God. He is God, the Holy Ghost. The Spirit is uppercase. God, Spirit. The Spirit and the Son and the Father all convened to meet the needs of His saints. Do you have
And then the Father grants the petition. And thou fit in His perfect will to meet the needs of His saints. And then He sets in motion whatever resources of heaven that are necessary in order to carry out the delivery of the answered prayer in our lives. When we pray, we literally put to work every member of the Godhead. And when you pray tonight, all heaven moves to hear and to answer your prayers.
Amen.
That's big stuff. Amen. I heard a preacher, and I'm finished, by the way. I'm done preaching. I heard a preacher in North Carolina in a camp meeting back years ago. He brought a pitchfork with him to the meeting. He got to that meeting and pulled out that pitchfork, and I thought, this is one of the first camp meetings I'd ever been to. But John, you know, first thing run through my mind is, this is just like a deacon's meeting. I've seen them with pitchforks and lanterns before. Amen. That's the first thing run through my mind. And then he pulled out of his pocket a fork to eat with. And he said, most of us, when it comes to God, who preached all week on taste and see that the Lord is good. He said, most of us, when it comes to God, never fill up this fork. And he said, the reality is, you pull that pitchfork out. He said, if you had this one and the capacity to receive it, it still wouldn't be enough. You have any idea tonight what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer? Oh my. The Holy Ghost tonight is listening for your prayer, and He's ready to intercede on your behalf, and He wants to make a difference in your life. God in heaven cares enough to hear you individually. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Tonight, when you pray, you can put all of heaven to work. Do you have a need to pray tonight? Stand to your feet. They're coming to sing us a song. I'm finished preaching. I'll give you all I got and more. Physically, I'll give you all. I mean, I preach the next 2 days on Romans 8. Preach the next 3 months if you want me to on the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's a lot to preach on. But I'll give you what the Lord's given me to give to you tonight. I wonder, when you pray, do you have any idea? You don't understand. I don't understand. If we understood, we'd know how to pray as we ought. But since we don't understand, then we don't know how to pray as we ought. But do you have any slight idea what a privilege you have in being able to pray? I mean, you drag around things like it's an anvil on your shoulder. Drag around burdens and cares and troubles. I mean, you try to bear up under the load all by yourself, and all the while the Holy Ghost is on the other end of the weight, and He's saying, all you got to do is say the word, and I'll pick up this end and we'll move on. I'll help you. I'll stand and I'll get under the weight with you. I'll bear your burdens if you'll just give me the word. If you'll just tell it to Jesus. If you'll just cast your cares on Him. If you need to pray tonight, she's going to sing for us. If you need to come, find you a place to talk to the Lord. Would you come while she sings? There's not only hope for tomorrow, but for the saint of God, there's help for today. that's sufficient. I trust that you've obeyed the Lord. I remember hearing Brother David Clemens testify after he had that car wreck. Some of y'all remember Brother David, preacher from down South Alabama. And testified after he had that car wreck. Disabled him terribly. Couldn't preach. Couldn't do anything. And the headache so bad he couldn't see every day, night and day, constantly. Like to lost his mind with it all. All of it, the weight of everything weighing on him. Resigned his church, but then he didn't have anything to make a living with. He didn't have a way to be able to. Couldn't pastor. Church let him stay in the pastorium there in the parsonage and live there. But they couldn't do it forever. They had a new pastor that's trying to take care of a salary and be good to and follow his direction. I mean, it's a real struggle. Well, David said he thought things were never going to get better. Years. He went about 3 years with headaches so bad every moment of his life. And he could hardly see in front of his face. Said one afternoon it overwhelmed him. Got to be too much for him. Went out to the backyard. He said, I'd stayed pretty faithful and stayed pretty sound to this point. But after nearly 3 years of it, he said, I stumbled around back there to the big oak tree where I was. And he said, I'd been praying and didn't know what to say. Said, finally, I reached out there and just threw my arms around that big old tree and didn't even touch on either side of it. And he said, I looked up to heaven and said, you can believe it or not. He said, just like all of heaven opening, all I said was, oh God, and shook and cried and held that old tree. And he said, I don't know for sure, but I believe I had a hold of the ankle of God. And somehow or another, God stepped in. He said, well, it was without food. I didn't have money left to buy medicine. I said, my wife, I told her, well, just go buy food. I'll do without the medicine. I said, I've got to have something to eat. But he said, first he ever left the house in that afternoon. A van pulled up. Folks went to bring it in, grabbed the bags of groceries. Church in Tennessee had heard his kid in a bad way. They filled up his table with groceries. Said, filled up under the table groceries. Filled up the counters with groceries. Said they just kept on bringing in groceries. Said, finally when they left, he sat down. I looked him there and there's some chocolate covered cherries. And he broke them things open and sat down at the had a chair and started to eat them. His wife said, hon, what about your headaches? You're not supposed to have sugar. What about your diabetes? You're not supposed to eat them cherries. He said, you go buy that medicine, honey. Any food the Lord say it won't hurt you, none. Amen. He said, thank God the Lord. Well, we don't know how to say nothing, but oh God, the Lord knows how to take it from me. I'm glad he does.
Right.
Found myself time after time within the last 6 months of the year. I thank God at 3 o'clock in the morning in my living room, my head buried in the sofa, just saying, oh God, I don't even know what I need, what I want, what to pray for. I just know I need you. And God knows how to take it from there.
Amen.
He knows.
Amen.
He knows. Be encouraged. The Lord's working on your behalf. Amen. Thank God. Well, I wonder if you obeyed the Lord tonight, done what the Holy Ghost had had you to do in the meeting. Ain't it been good to be at the house of God? Half the time I don't even drink water. The night that I need it, we end up with a solo cup. You know what Jesus said? Any of you that gives as much as a cup of water to someone in the name of a disciple, great is your reward in heaven. So if somebody wants another reward, there's a place to get one. Amen. That's right. Thank God. That's right. We're going to quit it. I just kind of kid with that. But maybe. Do remember, next Sunday now, bring somebody with you to Sunday school. Yeah, I forgot we got that scheduled, don't we? We don't have to, but next Sunday night we're going to have Christmas play and all that stuff too, ain't we? I don't want to tonight, so let's just do that. Is anybody got any real firm, strong, convicted objection to not having it tonight? Now that means we're going to have to put it off to the fourth Sunday night, because next Sunday night we're going to have Christmas play stuff and eating and all that business. And then the Sunday after that will be the anniversary service. So that'll be the fourth Sunday.
Oh, we really... These churches that's got to run things through conference and everything, they got to run through Congress, some of them. They'd have some, there'd be some people passing out before they left a service like this, wouldn't they? I mean, last Sunday I just made the executive decision to move it on account of us having an old-fashioned day, but I just don't feel like it's right tonight. Don't feel like it'd be the will of God. I don't want to smother what the Lord's done this day with routine business. We not got something special to take up. I don't want to smother routine business. We'll post a finance report. We're going to post a finance report. Matter of fact, go ahead and post it till now. And when we have our meeting, all we'll do is announce or report through the regular session. That way that we'll stay on a regular schedule, but it just won't be recognized until later in the month. How about that? Good deal. Good deal. All right. Remember next Sunday, bring somebody with you. Fine arts and drama ministries will be performing next Sunday night. Bell choir and the Christmas play. And we'll have an eating meeting, and I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Invite somebody. Listen, you know what's amazing?